You're listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on bingemedia.net. And now, a BingeCast commentary.
Welcome back to the Binge TV Roundup commentary for Better Call Saul. It's season three. It's episode one. It's Moreno. It's Jack Valley. What's going on, sir?
What's up, man? Good to have this show back.
Dude, I'm so happy to be back with this show. And not only just with this show, we got Fargo coming up. And I think between those two, because, you know, like we were in a dead period the last couple of months.
For sure.
As far as TV goes. Yeah. Between these two shows, I think that's enough. Like,
And the best part is that, like, we're going to get these two shows, and then it's literally going to lead into Game of Thrones and Rick and Morty Season 3.
Oh, that's awesome.
So this train isn't stopping for a while.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I think we get a little spoiled sometimes with entertainment and TV and movies. TV in particular, because things go in seasons, things like you said, we have Better Call Saul and Fargo. This is gonna lead us into Game of Thrones. But I think between these two shows, people know our love for these two shows on Binge Media. I think between these two shows, like, that's more than enough to sit there and digest and have it percolate throughout the week until you get a new episode of each.
I think so, man. I mean, just off the last, actually, two seasons of both these shows, there's been so much there that, you know, if you could binge a show like this, but I don't know, it kind of feels right with enough space to really kind of reconsider or think about things, maybe do a rewatch during the week, you know. It definitely helps. Especially, I know Fargo season two, I was rewatching those episodes like a motherfucker. So.
Nice. I know, what do you call it? Like, I love how both of these shows are in their third season, yet from a narrative perspective, they couldn't be more different shows.
Oh, like, sure.
Better Call Saul definitely has the ongoing season to season storyline, whereas Fargo is like new story, kind of new setting, but like it's gonna be loosely connected to what you've seen before.
Right. And they're both killing it, and yeah, excited to see if they can keep it going for a third season with this show. So I don't know. I think that's enough beating around the bush. I think we can probably get this started.
All right, let's do it. This episode's called Mabel. We'll find out why. This is the first episode of the third season of Better Call Saul. Let's get down to it. We are starting right away. Fade in. We're going to start at the fade to black and then just peace out. That's what we're going to do. It's going to be the shortest commentary ever. No. We're
million
fading
downloads.
We're fading in. Is that how we do it? Is that how we
Pretty
get
much.
To a million?
Pretty much.
We're fading in to black and white. Gene. The Cinnabon, and we're going to start that in 3, 2, 1, go.
So first thing that I really like about this show, and they've been consistent with all three seasons in doing this, they're not shying away from this. Like, there's something here that's going to mean more in the end, and it's interesting. It's definitely interesting. I don't, you know, it's tough to see where it's going, but, you know, they establish it right away with that really specific Vince Gilligan cinematography. You know, it's showing a process of just mundane bullshit.
I think it's Gene / Jimmy just like that Chris Rock thing in New Jack City with crack. Like, it just keeps calling you. Like,
oh, yeah.
I feel like it just keeps calling him. And I think there are a few moments throughout the series so far where, I mean, there was definitely that moment where Gene was stuck in like that loading dock or whatever. And he put Jimmy was here.
Yep.
I think he's just looking to break out.
Yeah.
I think he just wants a little bit of action.
Yeah, you definitely get that feeling, especially the way this whole thing goes down. But so one of the things I really noticed in this episode, it's obvious. If you've watched Breaking Bad, if you've watched its previous seasons, the cinematography is always good, right? I mean, it's always like cinema quality, interesting shots, interesting angles, show you things that you haven't seen quite in that way.
Mm-hmm.
There's one thing that I noticed in this episode more than others, and we're going to see it a little bit later on with Mike and the trackers, but there's something very satisfying about watching a process, right? Like, whether it's like a mechanical process or somebody going through the motions of something, or best way I could describe it, sometimes you go down like a YouTube rabbit hole, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And one of my favorite ones that like just sounds fucking lame as shit is a Mr. Rogers Neighborhood video of him explaining how they make crayons.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the most satisfying, calming shit. It's the reason that I'm into Bob Ross. It's the same thing, you know. It's
yeah.
the process of him painting something.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul do a lot of that.
Yep.
And it's always very cool. It's something it's always something I've never seen before.
Yeah. Yeah, and you just got to think, like, on paper, if it's as captivating as it is when they lay it out on screen. You know, just think about if you just break it down, like what Mike is doing. I guess it would be just because of where he is. But you take like the Mr. Rogers crayon example. On paper, not so much.
Right.
But
right.
when you lay it out visually in a storytelling setting, then it kind of does.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good shit. Absolutely good shit. Well, that's funny. My copy has subtitles on it all of a sudden. Let's go ahead and turn those off. It's, yeah, I love the full pedophile look that he's got going here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what year it is, but those glasses have been outdated for at least 2 decades.
Well, he is in Omaha.
Oh, that's true.
So they're at least 10 years back or so.
Good point.
Because look at crazy porn stash guy in the background. I mean, he's got a creep stash too. This mall security guy.
The rent the cops are in full force. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's molested something.
I don't know if it's the same in Rhode Island, but the mall I grew up going to was called North Riverside. Yeah. And there was one called Fort City. And Fort City was is more of the Kupka variety.
Okay.
So it's south side and it's grimy and dirty. But North Riverside was just like, oh, that's out in the suburbs. It's nice, but it was never nice. But mm-hmm. every fucking mall cop there, mall security guard, was like 15. They yeah. were all like young kids.
Yep.
And
yep.
I guess that's like one, like if you're going into that line of work, that's like your first job. It's fucked up.
Yeah. Two things there. First of all, I love that the grimy mall is the one you associate Kupka with.
Absolutely.
And second of all,
on the south side.
We've got a mall here. It's actually the Warwick Mall. It if you're walking in more than a group of 4 people, they'll actually break you up and tell you to split apart.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's ridiculous.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm an adult trying to buy a goddamn case for my cell phone.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yep.
Kind of talked over it, but I did love that moment. Get a lawyer.
Mm-hmm. See, that's him trying to break out.
He just wants a piece, man.
He's fucking sick of this. I mean, think about it. Going back to like the first season where this whole thing started, and because usually that's where things start. This is the first season.
Mm. Oh yeah, well
he pulls out his old infomercial tapes and starts watching them.
Right.
See, I didn't get that though. Where he just fucking collapses.
Yeah, it's who the fuck knows? Might never get an answer. But I still don't quite. Like, I like it because it's distinctive, but I still don't understand why the theme song, like, stops before it's over.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's, like, really weird. Now, this, to me, is, again, one of those things where, like, the really well-written shows, they don't take the cheap shots, really.
Mm-hmm.
A lesser showrunner would have pulled one of those, like, Chuck destroyed the tape by accident, or, like, you know, it wasn't recording or some bullshit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that he could extend the story for another season.
Remind me when that happened, because I completely forget. Did that happen in Chuck's house, right?
Exactly. So he comes over and he gets him to admit that he falsified the documents for the Sandpiper, I think.
Yeah.
Case. He had gotten the address wrong in court, and while we were there,
he's doing it right now.
Yeah, he's putting the tape away.
Fuck, that's right.
But Kim had gotten the had then become their I think it's Sandpiper, their lawyer, because she had the connection with the friend from high school.
Yeah. Who she meets up with later in this episode, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. It's all coming back to me. I missed that part.
That's why I was saying when I was watching this episode, I was trying to put the pieces back together. It's like there's something I'm missing. Because like I remembered the copy store.
Mm-hmm.
And then I knew that there was this conversation. I just couldn't remember like the parameters of what he was proving until the end of this episode. And then I was like, I got it. Okay.
Yeah.
But interesting dynamic, man. I can't say it enough. I'm a longtime Michael McKean fan. Ever since I saw Spinal Tap when I was like 14, I've always fucking loved this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've said it every season, but man can act.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. I again, as somebody who's a little bit OCD with this shit, I completely sympathize with Chuck in this moment.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, if you're gonna take it off, do it the right way. Come on. Mm-hmm. Just having to like lecture your little brother and all that shit. God. So I'm still liking Jimmy's tie. I believe I liked it at the end of last season too. So,
oh, glad to see
it's still holding up in style.
Yeah, it is.
Since this is literally 5 minutes after that. But, if this was an HBO show, I get the feeling Bob Odenkirk would have a line like, if you don't like Karate Kid, why don't you get the fuck out of here?
Yeah, definitely. That also made me think that it's a hat tip to the audience who may be a little younger, who doesn't, you know, like how to over-explain what wax on, wax off is. You can't just say that without giving some fucking context.
Because God forbid anybody have to do their own fucking homework and figure something out.
Oh, shit.
Damn it.
Oh, now is Jimmy reading this book in the beginning of the episode?
Different book.
Oh, it is a different book. Okay.
Yeah, it was. It definitely wasn't this. It was. I was trying to make note of the title, but I missed it. But it wasn't. This. See now. The way that Chuck's talking now almost hints that, like, they have a worse childhood than's been revealed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I got that feeling. Not that they've really followed through on it yet, but who knows. Future plot threads. See, kudos to fucking Gilligan in the writer's room for making this the focus of really everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's easy, you know, it's easy to go and fucking just say, hey, I'm going to do a prequel to Breaking Bad and Walter White's going to show up and, you know, everybody's going to fucking love it.
But
instead, like, they're on the third season now and they're still just really invested in these two brothers.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely given the show more meaning and longevity for sure.
Yep.
Now, you've said multiple times that was it this show? I feel like it was this show, so I'm going to go with it. You said that you don't want this show to go on more than, say, like three seasons, right? Or something like that.
Was it this show? Yeah, that sounds like something I'd say. So believe in that. Fuck yeah, I do.
Yeah, I feel like it was this one.
No, I just say I would not like to see this. I mean, Breaking Bad was 5 seasons.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yep.
Perfect. Why does it need to go longer than that? Why do you have to stretch it out? Especially like a show like Breaking Bad. And I say to a lesser extent, Better Call Saul. Because it's not Better Call Saul is not as intense as Bad was.
Oh, sure.
But still, there's only so much story you could tell without cheapening the experience of Breaking Bad. Because, they do go hand in hand.
It's starting to make me wonder how this show is going to end. Just because, I mean, it's probably easily explainable, but there is a lot of time being spent here. We're investing a lot into Jimmy and his brother and Kim and all these other characters.
I get a little worried about that, too.
Yeah, there's got to be good logical reasoning behind why none of them are in the picture. You know, by the time season 2 of Breaking Bad happens.
I just keep on thinking he must have done something so fucking awful.
Yeah.
But it can't be that awful where he's still in the same state, though. That's the thing that gets me. Yep, that'll always do it.
Yep.
Rub those shoulders.
It's like the Vulcan neck pinch.
Nah, dummy, you're too high.
It's over here, where the neck meets the shoulder.
Like this?
Yeah.
Why are we doing Spaceballs lines now? Fuck.
God damn it.
So they're still pretty new in this whole thing. I mean, was this a daycare before? Is that why the rainbow was on in the
I think it was
in the office?
Something
like that, right?
Now, I will say, I don't know if she was paying attention to Reddit or her acting coach or what. Not as much annoying with the chiclet teeth from Kim.
Oh, really?
At least in this episode. Maybe it's just because she's not in it very much. Like, it seems like she's opening her mouth when she speaks. So that's an improvement.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. That's always been my, I don't know if it's a acting choice to not open your mouth while you're talking.
I mean, just enunciate. Speak English. Enunciate your fucking words. You're not Marlon Brando. I don't know if it's just me, but Odenkirk looks a lot older this season than he did.
He does, absolutely. I definitely noticed that. That's why I can't go on too long. I mean, Mike's fucking ancient. I guess when you hit a certain age, you look that age for a while, like Mike has.
Right.
He just looks old, like super old.
Sure.
But Odenkirk's at that age where, you know, that shit is a fucking huge drop off, or could be.
He's at that critical moment where, like, the years are really starting to show on his face.
Yep.
It's not every angle, but the ones that you see it, it's just like, holy shit.
Oh, my God. And then it pans up, and I go, this Trump-loving motherfucker.
But I still fucking like this guy.
I fucking hate him. I like him because I hate him so much. Or vice versa.
I would wear that fucking suit. I don't give a fuck. Probably look great in it, too.
Fuck that collar. I've said it for 2 seasons. Fuck that collar.
Love the collar. Love the collar. It's a fucking power collar. That's the kind of collar... Well, he's a douchebag, so he'll wear it every day.
Yeah.
But, like, I would wear that collar twice a year.
And then you'd fashion the knot in your tie like Baldwin does in Outside of Providence.
Exactly.
Get the V, they call it the killer V. The broads love that. It's a deep pull there.
So here's what I was talking about. Like, again, finding the clever ways to keep the story going.
Mm-hmm.
this whole conversation is that right there. This is the mark of good writers, good showrunners, because, you know, clearly the obvious things aren't going to happen here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So something else is at play. That's just good writing. It's just, you know, it's giving me something I haven't seen and that I'm interested in.
For sure.
I don't think that's too much to ask in any fucking medium.
By the way, we've also mentioned this for the last two seasons, and I'm glad it's back. The shots, the interior shots in Chuck's home are the best lit shots in the entire series.
Oh,
I mean, no that doubt. Wide shot where they're sitting across from each other and the light from the sunlight coming in from the windows, and that place is fucking dark because he's not allowing any light in there.
Yeah.
Just the contrast between the two, and you can see like the dust flowing and everything. It's so fucking good, man.
Dude, you know the fucking DP and the cinematographer are just wetting themselves every time mm-hmm. they get to shoot there.
Yep.
Ah, this shit. This another is fucking great example of awesome cinematographies coming up.
But so much a touchstone to Breaking Bad. The music. The way the camera's following them from overhead and now it's inside. I mean, it's just fucking great, man.
That moment of just like extreme tension.
Yep. These establishing wide shots of just the fucking desert. So good. So Gilligan.
I also love how 90% of Mike's stuff this week, there's no dialogue.
Yeah. Yep. I'm a huge fan of watching this scene right now. And then
hold on, watch this. Watch this right here. It's coming up. Watch to Mike's right off in the distance. I don't know if you caught this.
What, the lightning bolt? The lightning bolt? Yeah.
So fucking sick.
I didn't even notice that the first time. But yeah, watching this again has made me realize how fucking badass Mike is. And I always know he's badass, but just another example is because he does that little check on the perimeter of the car, trying to find the bug. He fucking knows there's a bug in there, and he doesn't give up. He's just a fucking... A angry, just fucking old, but persistent old man.
He's just seen it all.
He's just seen it all, and he knows. Because
there's a reason he's an old man. He fucking knows what he's doing.
Yeah. And you know, because he was a dirty cop.
Right.
He just knows all the fucking tricks.
Dude, here's a team up I'd love to see. Mike and fucking Mr. French from The Departed.
Mr. French.
Frenchie. The fucking Ray Winstone.
Oh, my God. Holy fucking shit. That would be fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Frank would still be alive right now.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. Maybe that'd be the first fucking person they'd kill.
Probably. Because at that point, who needs him? I love this shit. So again, filming the process, right?
So one of the first things he looks at. Fuck that.
And I love how he follows the fucking De Niro in Heat code, you know? Just being able to walk away from something at a moment's notice.
Yep.
Just rips this car apart. Fuck the car. You can get another car. Fuck the car.
And fuck the target, too.
Right.
Like, he was smart enough to not kill Hector and the fucking gang.
Right.
Because the bigger issue is that he's been fucking spied on. He's got a fucking bug.
Right.
He's got a bug. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, man, I don't know, I don't know if it's just like, maybe it's just because it reminds me of when I've got a problem at work with a computer or something,
mm-hmm.
sometimes I've just got to go at it from like a base level and say, like, establish what I know, right?
Yeah.
Mike's doing the same thing. He's like, what do I know? Okay, well, I don't know that there's not a bug in the seat, so I got to rip the seat out. I don't know that there's not a bug on the tire, so I got to take that off, you know?
I want to see Mike in your job now. Is the computer plugged in, Walter?
Did you turn it off, then turn it back on again? No more half powers. Did it run the script at startup? Oh, man. Mike is a fucking help desk technician over the phone.
The best. Just looking into through his fucking his flow chart. Whip.
Enter your personal login. Do not give me your password.
Is there another number I can call you just in case we get disconnected?
So just saying here, there's a Packers car mat on the wall, and there's an Eagles logo. So what the fuck's going
Where's
on?
Where's the Eagles logo? I know it's a Pack.
See right to the top right of Mike's head?
Oh, that's the Packers.
No. Blurred out, the word Eagles is right there. In the wide shot, you can see it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, next to the no smoking sign, that's the Eagles.
Oh, okay. Let's see it shut.
But he's got, actually, you know what? There's four references to the Packers because there's a sign behind him.
Yeah, well, what, I was wondering what that was all about. Yeah. Probably just somebody's a fucking Packers fan, I guess.
Yeah, they probably just shot somewhere. There's a sticker back there on the left. Okay, so he's a Packers fan. But what's with the fucking Eagles, man?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Oh, I love this shit. It's just figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this fucking plan. Like, I know I always go back to it, but like Kubrick, right? 2001, shit happens in that movie. Mm-hmm. That you don't even understand what happened until it gets to the end of a scene.
Yeah.
And then you realize what it was because there's no dialogue to guide you, you know?
Yeah, right.
From the moment he figures this out, it really took until he lifts up the scanner at the end of it for me to figure out exactly what he was concocting, you know?
What do you mean? That you didn't know he was looking for a bug?
I knew he was looking for a bug, uh-huh. But at this point, I didn't realize he was then getting his own bug to swap out.
Oh, yeah, okay.
By faking the low battery.
Right,
you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fucking brilliant. It's a brilliant way to show it, too. Again, lesser writer has to, like, explain all that shit.
Well, again, to go back to Mike as the help desk guy, like he's re-engineering the problem, mm-hmm. Reverse engineering the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
So you found out what it is, and now he's going to go all the way back to figure out who the fuck put it there to begin with. It's crazy.
Step A, before you open the chassis. Discharge all static electricity by touching the point on the motherboard. God damn it. Like, you know, it's so much of what Mike does, but it reminds me of a couple episodes ago where, you know, he's drilling holes in a hose and putting gas through it.
Yep.
All that shit. He just... Mm-hmm. Fucking love watching him just figure shit out. That's a great shot, by the way.
Yeah. Just fits right in there, Mike. How does he figure that they just pick that up and then swap it out? You know what I mean? It could be, you know, just
well, I think
splitting hairs here, but...
I think, again, it's from his days of being a cop. Like, that's a pretty nice calculated risk to take, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. Because he's not thinking, oh, it's computers. They could just, you know,
right.
track that.
Well, the other thing GPS to remember. Yeah, the other thing to remember, too, is this is like early 2000s, right? So
yeah.
Maybe that's not on the radar as much as it would be today.
Yeah.
Of course, if this was set today, I'm sure this show would also factor in Google Maps because these writers don't leave anything, no stone unturned. You know?
Nope.
Why do old people just love flowers?
I don't know. They're assholes.
Like, what is that? They all fucking love flowers. They love wearing shit with flowers on it. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. This is a great callback.
Oh, yeah. This guy's just bullshit.
I love the stages of Saul dealing with shit.
Sure.
It's always just like, yeah, sure, we'll take care of this. And then it gets a little bit more serious, and he's like, whoa, 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 what the fuck? Whoa, whoa, whoa. And then he just finds an angle to put it back on the other person. Fucking great character, man.
Well, it's good how he... It's like he really tries to find the right way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But at a certain point, he probably understands the level that he's on, you know, subconsciously, and just says, fuck it, I got to deal with this with the fucking teeth out. So.
Yep.
I love his lines. Yep. You know, like the commercial, constructive criticism is always welcome. You're right, though. This conversation, it's the whole process of him, like, trying to reason.
Mm-hmm.
He goes through, like, four, I don't know, phases of escalating reasoning with this guy.
Multiple phases or multiple paths of least resistance to try to, like, amicably solve this issue.
Right.
And then it's just like, all right. Which is almost Walter White-ish in a way, now you think about it.
Absolutely.
Love that. Like, you have no idea how many times I've used that.
Right.
Not how I remembered it.
I'll tell you what, man, this show, not that it's at all real life, but it definitely gives me more of a perspective on like the thought process of a lawyer and just how they're just people trying to figure out the narrative, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess stuff like Making a Murderer kind of shows you that too, that it's not really what the facts are telling you, it's what you can convince the jury.
Absolutely, yeah.
I don't know. So many angles to look at the fucking Jimmy that just make it more interesting, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I feel about that tie. I think I'm okay with it.
Who, Jimmy's tie?
Yeah. It's fine. It's fine. It's a fucking New Mexico tie. It's fine. Constantly hustling.
Yep.
Yeah, man. At times, At times I wish that there was even more screen time for Mike, though. It's just, I love the Saul stuff. There's no taking nothing away from that. It's just like, Mike is like closer to the Breaking Bad shit, you know?
Absolutely.
God, I'm due for a fucking Breaking Bad rewatch now that I think about it.
God damn it.
Just a casual, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Couple here and there. Let's see. I can totally hear every one of those. Every one of those. See, this is the good stuff. So you don't know where he's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But then it just at the end of it, the plan comes together very nicely.
Yep.
Oh, I love the little touch with this guy too. how's the puppy?
Yeah. So what was that?
He got the puppy for his granddaughter.
I thought it was for the granddaughter, but I didn't know if something horrible happened to the puppy. I couldn't remember if that's what happened, but he just gave it to his granddaughter.
Right? Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because he was getting work from the guy, but his excuse to go and see the guy at first was to get the puppy and get the puppy checked up. So, you know, got him in contact with this guy. Full-time vet, part-time fence. Ah, man, you know, at times I wish I had a line of work like this fucking guy. Can you get this thing? Yeah, I can get it.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
$1,000.
Yep.
God, it's tough to fill the time sometimes just because, like, it's a compelling show, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking about it earlier, but I do peruse the subreddit once in a while. I was doing it a lot more last season. I haven't gone nuts today over it, but let's see if there's something interesting in here.
See that shit.
I just saw a comment that said, Chuck's thumbs are bonkers, yo.
Dude, I just noticed that. It was fucking weird.
That's weird.
I noticed that earlier. Yeah, there was a really good comment here. Let me see. The post-episode discussion thread?
Mm.
Like the first couple of comments.
Let's see what we got here. Oh my god. Well, everybody can find that on the internet, so
mm-hmm.
We're not gonna post it for you.
Figure it out.
Yeah. Mesa Verde, that's what this is. Shit, Sandpiper's the other case. Sandpiper's the case that Jimmy fucking cracked open with the mishandling of the funds at the nursing home.
Yes. Yep.
All right. We're getting it, people. We're getting it. We're working.
We've got it.
Now, I haven't seen any distinct, fucking color spectrum guides for this show yet.
No, me either.
There's got to be some, though. There's gotta be some details that they're thinking about. I'd be shocked if there was nothing. Hmm. Yeah, it gets me to think that whatever Jimmy does is definitely fucks Kim over somehow in a big way.
Mm-hmm. Has to.
It's too tied to her, you know? And then this whole thing, like having to go through the documents again just in case Jimmy fucked with him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Seeds are there, man. Definitely there.
Okay, so like projecting where those seeds could go.
Yeah.
For the rest of the season, I guess for the series. Mm-hmm. Like if this season ends with them splitting or on the verge of, like, at least we would know. Like, I think I'd be satisfied with that. If it went another season, though, where they're still cool, but like, oh, I don't know, Jimmy. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I'm on board with that.
Then I agree.
It's just going too long, then.
I think this season's going to be a big shit or get off the pot kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like they're going to have to. They're going to have to prove that they're not the Walking Dead. Not that I think they are on any level, but just as like the most fucking popular example of a show that doesn't know when to quit. I love how no matter what Jimmy does, like, he can't stop being himself, too. Can't stop being Saul.
Nope.
Like, you have all the paint out. You've got everything ready. You've probably got another 5 minutes of work there. Maybe with the raised wall, you know, tan and the edging. We'll say, like, another 15, 20 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Like, why would you stop and then come back and then have to match the paint and all that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like he's always looking for the quickest way out.
Yep.
Path of least resistance kind of guy.
Yeah, I think that's been a pretty consistent thing in this show. Maybe not so much in Breaking Bad, but definitely in this show that, like, he doesn't want to do the work. Would rather, you know, go by the easy way.
Right.
Fucking Ernesto.
I'm going to save it for later. Oh, man. I'm not going to not be able to laugh now. He's driving his fucking Mitsubishi Lancer.
I'll just say this. There's one comment that says, my dad paused on the shot of Ernesto walking up to Chuck's door because my mom was going to bed. And he said, come on, you're going to miss Gus.
Oh, man. Oh, I like that tie. I'll take Ernesto's tie all day.
It's a fucking disaster.
It's a fucking daily tie, man.
His tie is fine, but the tie shirt combo is just off the fucking.
I agree.
Oh, it's give not me even the same color. Fucking ballpark as Saul's. Yeah. Jimmy's. Poor Nestle's just like shell shocked. He doesn't know what the fuck is. Yeah. How to treat Chuck at this point.
He's been in school for at least 6 years at this point, spending all his time not studying, working for this fucking law firm, and he's gonna deal with this fucking crazy asshole.
Mm-hmm.
His job now consists of delivering him fucking ice batteries and the occasional bologna sandwich. God, there's nothing to me more infuriating than the short sleeve tucked in shirt with tie look, though. I really fucking don't like that.
Yeah, you're really lower middle management at that point.
You're lower middle management, and it just exudes no confidence to me.
Mm-hmm. Like, you almost look like somebody who is doing the least amount to seem professional.
Right.
But also, you're doing as much as you can to seem like you have your shit together. But that is as much as you can do. Like, you can't go farther than that.
I mean, if I do the short sleeve fucking button down shirt, I'm not tucking it in and I'm not wearing a tie. It's just...
Agreed.
If it's 100 degrees outside and I'm working,
mm-hmm.
then people will fucking understand. I've never had a boss or anybody telling me that I was an asshole for doing that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But he's just missing a pocket protector.
That's all he's missing, yeah.
Because his shirt doesn't have a pocket. What the fuck is going on with Ernesto? Ugh. So, back on the story side of things.
Yeah.
I do like that this is showing that Chuck's willing to break the rules, too, just to take his brother down.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, he's not as fucking morally high and mighty as he is projecting himself to be in this
Absolutely.
Moment. He's doing some shady shit right now. God. So this is like way off topic sidebar, but do you ever get text messages or messages in general from somebody and they speak like two words at a time for each text message?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go on a rant here, but my fucking brother, okay, he does this shit all the fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
He just sent me, I think, 30 text messages out of like one sentence.
You know, I will confess I do that only when I'm high.
I do that for a punchline. Sure. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
But at a certain point, just fucking communicate, man.
Yeah.
Trying to watch this show. It's about a couple of brothers. It's got me thinking what a fucking asshole one of mine is. There you go.
I get it. I totally get it. I think a lot of that is internet speak too. I'm gonna call it Tumblr speak.
Ugh.
Or Reddit speak. So brave.
Reddit,
yep.
Did you say so brave?
Stuck that one in there.
So many off air references. Oh my
mm-hmm.
god.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, love this shit. Love it. Curious lack of gasoline on his gas cap every time he looks at it, but I'll forgive it.
Yeah, he's also not smelling it, and that would be the first thing I would do if I took off a gas cap.
It's fucking weird. It's
nice whiff of fucking gasoline. No, I am kind of a sucker for... Because not a lot of... you mentioned Kubrick... But not a lot of filmmakers or showrunners do this, which is where obviously the character knows a lot more of what he's doing than the audience does.
Right.
And you're just kind of along for the ride.
Right.
You know, it's one thing if the earlier montage of him trying to figure it out as we're trying to figure it out.
Right.
But this is another thing. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I mean, they even did this in Breaking Bad. I mean, I remember at the end when Walter's rigging up the machine gun in the trunk.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You don't know what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
They did that shit all the time on Breaking Bad.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that a lot, too. It's just, you know, it's like you said, it's not necessarily that the character's smarter than you are. It's just like they know
Mm-hmm.
They know what they're doing, and you're just a bystander.
Yeah, because we almost have, I think audiences, especially these days, have a they have like an omniscient view of TV while they're watching it.
Sure.
It's like, oh, I know these characters and what they're going to do here and what they're going to do there. Like, I'd like not knowing shit.
Absolutely.
Like, I love not knowing what Mike is doing right now until it fucking actually happens.
Well, I think that's a big part of filmmaking that's really starting to get lost with all of the, you know, actually, to bring it up. So I rewatched Dark Knight a couple days ago. And yeah. There's this one moment in the movie where it's after Harvey Dent's become Two-Face.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this panning shot of three gangsters getting in a car, one driver and two guys in the back seat. One of them is Maroney, Eric Roberts, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As the camera's panning, the camera doesn't stop moving. It doesn't call any attention to itself. But it's a weird moment if you're watching the movie for the first time, because like literally two gangsters are getting in the back seat, and then it's Eric Roberts and Harvey Dent. And it doesn't make sense unless you're paying attention, because as the camera's panning,
mm-hmm,
you see in the corner of the screen Harvey Dent grab the guy and pull him.
Yeah.
It's like that visual storytelling. It's like as good as a lot of these shows are, and I will completely put Fargo in this camp too.
Mm-hmm.
I think even Game of Thrones doesn't do it enough. Like, I feel like there isn't enough visual storytelling anymore. Like, mm-hmm, people who are really using the cinematography and the camera and not necessarily choking the fucking viewer with words all the time, you know?
Absolutely.
It's really lost on a lot of shit. I mean, you know, you and I are fucking Wes Anderson fans. I know a lot of people aren't. But
oh, yeah, just the art of visual storytelling without verbally saying anything, pushing the story forward.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much that he does in the frame that's just, it's incredible stuff, man. I mean, you know, all the guys that I'm into do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Gilligan and Hawley. I mean, even fucking Legion. Legion did this kind of stuff.
Legion did that.
That's why I responded to it as positively as I did.
Yep.
It's just guys who understand filmmaking just carrying it over to TV. I like that a lot.
And also having some trust and giving credit to your audience too.
For sure, man. Nobody
not fucking spoon feeding it, man.
Nobody fucking does that anymore, you know, whether it's Netflix or whatever. I mean,
mm-hmm,
I like Luke Cage. I'm not taking anything away from what Luke Cage is.
Yeah.
I can't really tell you a single scene or like shot from Luke Cage that I thought was really impressive, though.
Sure.
There's maybe the one scene where the kid tries to shoot him in Central Park and, you know, he talks him down or whatever, but
yeah.
I mean, there's no mark of like a really impressive director or visual storyteller on that series.
Right.
Kind of sucks.
By the way, there's no more fucking scene where Mike looks as old as he should, where he comes off as old as he should, than when he's on a stakeout.
Dude,
and he does that thing where he's fucking stakeout Mike looks like Law after three shifts at the dildo factory. He's just like rubbing his eyes, just like, fuck, I'm old.
Eating pistachios.
Mm-hmm.
Eating pistachios out of the shell. I love me some pistachios, but man, you want to talk about a fucking old man move? Pistachios out of the shell has got to be up there. Top 10 old man moves.
Yeah. Any pistachio reference just reminds me of Naked Gun. When they're on the stakeout, they're fucking him and George Kennedy are eating pistachios. And then they open the door. It's just a mountain of fucking pistachio shells. Their lips and fingertips are all red.
Right. Oh, man.
Well, that's it. He's on his way. Mike is on his way to go see why Ernesto put that note on his car.
Yeah. Pretty much.
You know, it didn't even occur to me the Ernesto and Gus Fring connection, because at this point there's zero other than the race, and by race I mean skin color. So like, of course it never fucking occurred to me, but now that somebody brings it up on Reddit, you get a quote unquote nerdy looking dude, glasses, short sleeve shirt, tie.
Oh man, what the fuck?
Could be a relative of something or some sort.
Sure.
Part of his scholarship.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
The Los Pollos Hermanos fucking scholarship.
Los Pollos Ernesto.
Oh man. Good first episode.
Yeah.
Nice primer. I think the season's got a lot of places to go. Hopefully it gets there. Hopefully it gets there in a satisfying way. So
somebody said it. Literally unwatchable. You can't. Oh, this is, goes back to. We might as well bring it up because this is a punchline. The Reddit comment that had us both dying. So the first comment, it's on the Better Call Saul subreddit. Mabel, post episode discussion thread, and top comment. The level of realism in this episode was broken by Ernesto's ability to open a pack of batteries in under 10 seconds. There's some really good comments there. And then at some point somebody says, literally unwatchable. You can't do that shit without a pair of scissors. Somebody said exactly what I said. Not that plastic. Ernesto scissor hands.
Oh my God. One of them. Okay. So the thing you just said, I'm going to say it again. So said, my dad paused on the shot of Ernesto walking up to Chuck's door because my mom was going to bed, and he said, come on, you're going to miss Gus. The next comment, I read that in Jerry Smith's voice. He's a fucking dad from Rick and Morty. Oh, shit.
For as SJ-dub as Reddit could be, and how whiny they could be, some funny motherfuckers. On Reddit.
Oh my God. Reddit, if you're not, sidebar, if you're not on Reddit, what the fuck are you doing with your life?
What are you doing?
Jesus. You're missing a fucking wealth of comedy, believe me. Pretty much wherever you look, too.
Look, whatever you're into, if you're into like hockey fights from the fucking 70s, yeah. you've gone down a YouTube/internet rabbit hole. Reddit is like the rabbit holes of rabbit holes.
Reddit, I can't tell you how many nights I've fallen asleep with my phone on Reddit.
Oh, I've fallen asleep with my phone on my chest, like still holding it.
Yeah.
In bed.
It's ridiculous. You can find anything on Reddit, people. Anything. So good. All right. Probably should wrap this up, I think.
I just want to read Reddit comments now. I just want to fucking randomly read Reddit comments. Yeah, let's just fucking wrap it up, though.
Let's see here. Now you got me on a fucking tangent, so let's see here.
Just scroll and pick one.
All aboard the Gus bus. Mike is the coolest character in television history.
Mike seems almost supernatural. Doesn't need sleep. Does crosswords and pens. Can outsmart any foe.
Ooh, old lady at Jimmy's office had Lily of the Valley at her granddaughter's confirmation. Love the throwbacks.
What?
Didn't catch that.
And yet the guy who killed him wasn't even some mastermind furthering his schemes. He was just pissed off and spiteful. And then somebody just puts in all caps, and Lydia had the names.
Chuck's thumbs. Yikes. Mike would have painted over the whole rainbow. No half measures, Jimmy. Oh, this one. Batteries, bitch! Oh, shit.
Ooh, look at this one. This show is cinematography porn. That's what you said. More or less.
Yeah, pretty much. Walt inadvertently kills innocent people and irrepressibly fucks up their lives. Jimmy inadvertently makes people think they're dyslexic.
Why did they use the same actor for Gene and Saul? Is AMC really that cheap? All right.
That's
rough. Let's switch up. Because we can just fucking sit here and read the whole thing.
Sure.
And then go down other threads.
Yeah, let's run it for you.
Okay, somebody in here is just calling him Ernest Bro.
Another random one under a thread from Mike that says Heisenberg was known for his uncertainty. So.
Nice.
That's probably where we should leave it. What we got? Follow us on Twitter, YouTube, yep. Facebook. What else we got? 708-406-9546 is the phone number. We will be doing these weekly, so
yes, yes, we're gonna try to get them out on Wednesday morning.
Yep.
I work on Tuesday night, so it's gonna be a tough fit on Tuesday night, but we're gonna try for that. And then Fargo is premiering next week.
Yep.
On the 18th, I want to say.
Yeah.
I think that's a Tuesday show. So we're going to have that probably later in the week because it's just too fucking difficult.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're going to shoot for Wednesday mornings as the release for the Better Call Saul commentaries.
Yep. Yep. At the very least, you'll get one a week. Might be a day late. If it is, go fuck yourself.
So. Yeah, what are you going to do? All right. For Jack Valley and myself, hey-oh!
You've been listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on BingeMedia.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Buy some merch at BingeMedia.net/shop. Subscribe to our newsletter at BingeMedia.net/newsletter. And don't forget...
I can't get enough of soup.
Bob O'Girl.